Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That's absolute shopping at Aldi or Lidl, isn't it? Getting those guys in.
Hey, Sports Direct. That's where we shop.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
Episode 3 of our Correspondent Week. James, let's get straight into it. Introduce our correspondent and the club we're going to be talking about.
Toon, Black and White Army. Let me introduce you to Simon Bibby, our Newcastle United correspondent. How are you, Si?
Aye, man. Good.
Yeah, people have guessed quite quickly straight away that the accent's not Geordie, and nor are you in Newcastle. You're halfway around the world. So cheers for kind of braving time difference and all the rest of it and joining us to chat, Toon Army. We're playing you again on the first day of the season, two seasons in a row. The only difference being this time around, it's at St. James's Park and not at the London Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, our team look like it's going to be exactly the same as last season. I don't know if you've made any signings yet.
Today we had Areola is coming through the door to provide some goalkeeping competition for Fabianski.
This is the point where, again, I have to point out to the listeners that this is being pre-recorded on Thursday the 29th of July. Keep going, Serge.
That's true. So by the time people listen to it, 4 days ago or whatever it might be that Areola came in. But yeah, it's not been too lively. And nor has it been at Newcastle in terms of signings coming in, but primarily, I guess, because of the whole, I mean, who's going to buy players at the same time as trying to sell a club, perhaps?
I was going to say, you could pre-record this on the 31st December this year and we still wouldn't have signed anyone. So,
well, I was going to say, Si, this time last year, we sat down for this exact podcast and you were quite bullish about the fact, look, you won't get relegated. But the season will kind of be a bit of nothingness again. You'll be fine. You won't go down. There was definitely a point where we thought you probably were going to go down. You finished great. You basically said this time last year, well, until takeover happens, it's rinse and repeat. We're in the same position, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much. The only difference being is Bruce has had a year more with the squad. So it will just come down to injuries again and which loan signings we can get through. Because I think there's talk that Willock might come back. I saw he wasn't in the Arsenal pre-season game. I know that was like rushed through because they were supposed to go to the USA and that fell through. But there's talk that he might be allowed to go out on loan again. In which case, like if he doesn't come back to us, then that's just like a massive red flag that there is something really wrong with the club after the loan season he had last year.
I don't think it's a red flag now, Si.
Well, I'd hope he comes through. There's talk about Tunzebe, the Man U guy. Bruce had him on at Villa when he was there in the Championship. So that's basically what's been talked about. That and just a bunch of players just rejecting us for other clubs.
You've been linked with a Tottenham player as well, Si.
Vickers, is it?
Cameron Carter-Vickers, yeah, correct.
And they're double barrel players. You've got like a bunch of them.
Carter-Vickers' role at Tottenham is basically the same every summer. He plays all the pre-season friendlies and then disappears somewhere on loan. I had quite high hopes for him as a kid, but he apparently did quite well at Bournemouth last year. Supposedly some interest, but I don't feel like centre-back's a position where you're overly desperate, actually. I would have thought it's other areas of the team.
Interesting to say, I actually think we need a centre-back. We've just shipped out Lejeune. I was hoping he'd come back, but I think he had another injury breakdown last year. He played very well for, I think it's Levante or one of the teams he went to in Spain, but he's gone now. So I think we do need another centre-back. Lascelles looks fit. He's played all the preseason games so far. Fernandez will start again. Dummett will probably play left centre-back. That seems to be like Bruce favoured last year. I think we do need another one. Like Hayden can play in there, and in pre-season he's played centre-back and also midfield, but I think that's just to like make sure that everyone's got a little bit of game time. So I think we do need one more. We've got a couple of young players coming through, but we don't tend to give them first team opportunities that often until we're safe with about five games to go. So I wouldn't say it's a priority for us, but I think we definitely need at least one more proven player back in there.
Goalkeeper is going to be an issue game week one at the moment by the looks of it. Dubravka injured, we think, till September-ish. Cole Darlow out with COVID. Freddie Woodman was going on loan to Bournemouth. That's been put on hold because of this. So at the moment, you know what FPL is going to do. You've got Darlow and Dubravka in at 4.5 and you're sitting there thinking, I wonder if they'll put Woodman in at 4. they won't. It'd be 4.5. You absolutely know it.
Darlow, Dubravka's 4.5. To be honest with you, I haven't actually even looked at the FPL prices. I was going to do a live check now of the Newcastle squad for you. I've literally just signed in for the first time this season.
But there's no point saying Dubravka's a good choice at 4.5 because no one's starting with him. Basically, from the moment that Suj said, you know what, I really fancy starting with him, he got injured, mate. So, yeah. Suj, I don't know if you want to recommend any other...
jinxing it.
I don't know if you want to recommend any other Newcastle players, Suj.
Well, I think there's a number of assets that are interesting, but yeah, I really fancy Dubravka because when he got back into the team he's been consistent for a while. He didn't make that mistake in the Euros, but he has been decent. Teams that play five at the back are always likely to nick a clean sheet every now and then. And the entire FPL community on Twitter was racing towards Sanchez so quickly that I thought there's got to be other value at 4.5. And he was the other one that stood out for me as decent, but yeah. Pointless now. And had he had it only been him injured, I would have happily pivoted to Cole Darlow because he's a save point magnet when he plays. But now he's out. So, yeah, I'm not going back. Well,
Darlow's not definitely out. That's the confusing thing about this. But it would be interesting if suddenly they dropped Woodman in the game and he was 4.0. So I think I would start with him then.
I mean,
I know that if he's a playing goalkeeper, I'll rinse 0.2 out of him, even if he was to disappear on loan, quite possibly.
You'd hope that Bruce would start him, and he did start one of the preseason games in the last one. So I know he went into contact tracing, but he obviously got negative tests and came out of that. I mean, it's still over 2 weeks until the start of the season, so you'd think Darlow would be starting in that spot. But I think Woodman's a good goalkeeper. He got the Golden Gloves last year in the Championship. He needs to be given a shot. I think he's old enough now that he's not going to get physically any bigger. That's always the slight against him. He's a bit of a Pickford type, that kind of like size. I think his arms are like normal length, unlike Pickford's. But he's always been in my squad. Like whenever he's been in the game, he's been like my backup goalkeeper if I haven't gone with like rotating keepers. So it'd be like a nice throwback if he was in the game. And you're right, James. I think potentially in a Newcastle double up in goal, because you're unlikely to pick three or even two or possibly even one outfield players. I think that is an option. The thing I would say with Newcastle, and I think I've said this consistently over the years, is like we are pretty consistent in terms of what sort of results we're going to get. So against the really, really shit teams, we're a decent bet for a clean sheet. We can also upset a few of the bigger teams, in which case your goalkeeper's going to score a lot of points. And against the middling teams, we usually do quite shit. But on average, like our keepers will let a lot of shots, our defence will let a lot of shots go through. So you're kind of looking at, if you're the sort of player that likes, you know, 3-4 points a game ticking along and then a couple of big scores, then keepers are always an option. And be interesting to see as and when they add Gillespie and the young guy in the game and see whether it's still an option to go with Newcastle keeper.
They'll leave that lastminute.com. I wouldn't even be surprised if Darlow was still doubtful for game week one and they haven't added another keeper, be it Woodman or Gillespie. I don't think you could go for a keeper double up. I don't think you're going to pay the 9 for Darlow and Dubravka together. when there, you could have sort of Backman and Foster at Watford at 8.5. I don't think you're going to do that. And I don't think you could go, even though Dubravka's out for a bit, I don't think you could go Darlow or and Woodman if Woodman was to come in at 4, because you're just booking a transfer. Dubravka eventually, when he's back fit, it was proven last year, he's going to be number one. I think Bruce has decided Dubravka's his guy now when he's fit. So you'd just be booking in a future transfer for that.
Yeah, I guess it was wildcard time potentially.
I guess, if you know you're going to wildcard in game week 3 or 4, you could. You could probably get away with it. Anything longer than, I think, no. There is another 4.0 people want to know about. So I have your man Keo. 4.0, mate. What's going on now?
Yeah. So literally, I'm looking at the squad now. Right. Well, I think he's going to have to play some part in pre-season, and he hasn't yet. And I don't think, the last time I checked, he wasn't in Spain's World Cup squad. So I don't know what the deal is with that. I think it's Murphy's spot at the moment. And I've just disappointingly seen that he's a midfielder.
Yeah, it's cheeky. It's cheeky that Richie's a defender and Murphy's a midfielder, because actually the way they finished the season, they should have been categorised the same way. And I know you were quite hopeful actually that Jacob Murphy might be a defender, weren't you?
Yeah, I can't understand why I've done that. He literally didn't play for us before that. So there's no reason why, apart from maybe we've got a lack of midfielders. We've only currently got 8 in the game. And we've got more defenders. And I don't know if that's like something the FPL think about. They always fuck over Newcastle, right? Player pricing. But even when they give us like 4.5 goalkeepers, they wait till Dubravka starts going on like an injury run. But
the thing with your goalkeepers and defence, like some clubs, let's take Leeds, for example. You've got Meslier in goal. He's 5 million. And then you've got Luke Hayling at 4.5. And there are other clubs where the keeper's 5, but you've got a perfectly good defender at 4.5. So it doesn't make sense to go with the goalkeeper. But there's no differential between the price of your goalkeepers or defenders. So at this point, if you don't want one of the goalkeepers, then one of the defenders is an option. Because bar Manquillo and Richie, they're all 4.5. Is there anyone else that you think...
I thought you were going to say that.
All 4.5.
Yeah. I think Manquillo is a pretty good fifth defender option. I think Lascelles, if he can stay fit, is always all right value at 4.5. He's always...
I'm just looking at... you're saying you just logged in to look at the price. I'm just looking at the scores from last season. Not a single... two defenders got more than 50 points, and that's 52 and 53, and that's it. No more than 53 points from any defenders in
that's
the
what I'm saying. I don't see honest to everybody, I don't see how you could pick any of them 4.5s over the Leeds pair, because I'd throw Llorente into that conversation. Obviously Wesley Fofana at Leicester, and there are plenty of other 4.5 million
Ben
defenders.
White. The list is as longer than Pickford's arms.
Exactly. Callum Chambers, I saw, got a goal and assist for Arsenal in a game the other day, so that'll please you.
That's seven years at the club.
That's one for Tom Cantle from who got the assist. But no, I don't think you can make a case for any of them 4.5s. In an odd way, you'd almost rather, if you were desperate to have a Newcastle defensive, which I can't see why anyone would, you'd either go Manquillo for 4, exactly what Si's saying. And yeah, he can be your fifth defender, leaving third sub. And if they have a run of injuries, he might get a run of team. You never know your luck. Or if I had to buy one of the others, I'd pay more for Richie, I think, than the 4.5s. And again, once you start comparing Richie at 5 million to others, I don't think you're going to go there. There isn't a run. We were talking about this off camera yesterday with Newcastle's fixtures. There isn't a run at any point where you go, that's a great 4 or that's a great 5. I mean, you could make a case game week 5 to game week 9's not bad. Leeds, Watford, Wolves, Tottenham, Palace, but it's not brilliant. The first 3, West Ham, Villa, Southampton, then United. If you look on it on a longer period, you could say, well, they only play one of last season's top 5 before they play Chelsea in game week 10. So it's not a bad set of fixtures, but it never looks like, oh, I want to dive in, or they've got a great start, or I can punt on a 4.5 defender because they've got a very good start. And West Ham at home, Villa away, doesn't fill me with the idea that they're going to be keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, I mean, from an actual, forget fantasy for a minute, I think the fixture list kind of works for us in that we're not, until like the last 8 games of the season, we're not typically a club that will go on like huge, massive runs. So Emma will always put in a dodgy performance every like three or four games. So actually, like the way the fixtures are kind of broken up, like you kind of take that. The end doesn't look too nice, to be honest. With, like Liverpool,
yeah, noticed.
And then Arsenal at home. But it depends, I guess, if Arsenal got anything to play for at that point. And Leicester and Spurs. Oh, fuck, I'm just looking at the fixture list again.
Yeah, but then again, Si, your fixture list looked horrendous following the Brighton game in game week 29, yeah, which I think a lot of us, I mean, even you at that point must have thought, we're bang in trouble here.
And then for the first time in a few years.
You drew with us. You beat Sudge's team. You got a great late draw at Liverpool. There was good results in that running. You battered Leicester at the King Power, by which point you'd already basically made yourselves safe. So actually, you had tough fixtures in the running and performed very well. I mean, you took 16 points from your last eight games, mate. It's Champions League form.
Yeah, we're playing well when the kind of the pressure was off, really. I think other teams had other things to focus on, and we were obviously out of both cups and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be rinse and repeat this season. I don't really know who else I could like recommend at the moment. Like from a midfielder point of view, it's just literally the same as last time. I do think Fraser, if he's fit at 5.5, he started both games, scored one preseason game. I think he might get a start. Definitely with Almiron at the moment, like still recovering on a break from the Copa America. So I think Fraser might start the season. But again, it's like, do you want to take a 5.5 punt? I haven't looked at other players and other teams, but I know you're going to tell me there's better options. So
yeah, to be honest, I think if I had to start with one of them midfielders, I think it would be Murphy at 5.0, but I couldn't make a case for it. I mean, 69 points for him last year, he's basically played half the minutes.
Yeah.
Suggests that in the role he was playing towards the end of the season, if he was going to be first choice, I don't see why he wouldn't be personally, that there is scope for him to push towards a 100-point season with more minutes or so. But I don't think that's where you'd be starting with your money. You'd need that end-of-season Newcastle form, I think, for him to be hitting towards 120, 130 or so.
He's got a new contract, but I wouldn't say his place is 100% nailed. I think between him and Manquillo, I mean, it could be a strange kind of double-up. Maybe you go for, like, both of those. I mean, that might be like a weird option where he'd be like, you go for a fifth midfielder and a fifth defender as Newcastle. And like, if you needed to play one, you kind of almost know that one or the other is going to play, which actually thinking about it. Yeah, no,
so if we now. Go, if Woodman comes in at four or Gillespie, we go them in goal, we go Manquillo at the back. And if we go with one of the Longstaff brothers or Hayden, that's our FPL bench sorted. And we've only spent, 13 million blinding. And we've got to treble up Newcastle. We're blocked.
That's absolute shopping at Aldi or Lidl, isn't it? Getting those guys in.
Hey, Sports Direct. That's where we shop.
That's true. It is a classic Sports Direct bench. That's what we're going to call it. It's interesting. I mean, up front, though, there are options. I mean, Almiron, even Joe Linton came into a bit of form towards the end of the season. Callum Wilson scores goals regardless. We were all sitting here this time last year with Saint-Maximin ready to go. James, you started with him, didn't you? Last season.
As a midfielder.
I mean, and cheaper. Why he's gone to being a forward and the price increased to 6.5 million?
Well, I do know why, but then this is part of the it's contradicting, right? Because if they've done it based on the way Newcastle played at the end of last season, where basically Saint-Maximin did play right up front with Wilson, so they understand it. But then there's no consistency because Richie's a defender and Murphy's a midfielder. So,
and Joe Linton should be a midfielder then by that, because they played on the same pitch.
You could make that case, arguably. Mm. Yeah, he swapped numbers though. So Callum Wilson's number nine now. I think Joe Linton's taking the seven shirt, I want to say.
Yep.
So I don't suppose it would make a difference to Joe Linton, who scores 50% of his goals against Tottenham anyway. Callum Wilson, we shouldn't overlook, should we? Surely.
No, I like that price. I like that he's a bit more. How much was he at the start of last season? I was hoping he'd get a bit
cheaper.
Price.
I think he started at 6.5 last year.
I want to say less. So Suge is probably going to check what price he ended at.
Yeah.
He's a million more, which I actually quite like because less people will go for him. I mean, you look at his numbers last year, he was one in every two games getting returned. Some of them were a bit fluky, like penalties or whatever, but I'd take that. I mean, I've already, like, the first player I put in, and literally the only player before looking at this Newcastle team, was Ivan Toney, ex-Newcastle legend. He's going straight in. How much is he?
Six and a half million. Same price as St. Maximum.
So I don't put him in. Everyone else has got him, mate. Tell me his ownership going any further.
Check
up.
The ownership.
But he's always going to go. He's like your archetypal promoted striker, underpriced. Well, he's good though. Like, I always rated him. He was never given a shot at Newcastle. He was bought him too young, and then just didn't give him a chance, and just didn't develop him like we. This is what we do with our young players. So, looking forward to seeing him play this season.
If Adam Armstrong, as rumoured, ends up at Southampton, you can have Armstrong and Tony, two former Newcastle kids who didn't get a chance up front, mate.
Perfect.
Callum Wilson, you've got to be patient with. I think when I've had him before in FPR. I do like Callum Wilson, and I'm like you. I like his price. You just stick him in and just leave him there, because he will tick along nicely for you. And that's obviously assuming that he doesn't get injured. I mean, James said the week, I've said it on a pod, and I don't remember which one I said it on, James, but if people sometimes put tweets out saying, what's your outrageous prediction for this season that you're not sure will happen, but might. And I still think Newcastle getting into the top 10 is mine, and James doesn't agree, but you said the other day, right, that with Wilson on the pitch, 2 points a game is what Newcastle averaged last season. You've talked about 16
from when
points.
Jones came in.
And that's a big part of why I think Newcastle will do better. 16 points from the last eight when Wilson was around is no joke. And I think that the squad settled. I think there is hope. The thing going against Newcastle is just the volume of other teams that are so good now. I mean, the depth in the league is going outside the top six when you chuck in Leicester, West Ham, Southampton, Everton, so on. It just is really deep, and that will be difficult. But Newcastle could go on a run. I mean, FPL aside, I wouldn't be picking many FPL players, but I do think that you've got the opportunity to definitely top 12 should be your aim.
Yeah, I mean, we're the only club that's not signed anyone this summer yet. So we're standing still while everyone else is, at least in theory, improving. So by that token, every year it gets a little bit harder.
You say that, but I've taken the view of West Ham now. I'd rather buy no one than buy shit, because we spent so much money on players that haven't made it. And we're taking the view. And right now, I think if I trust Moyes, if he doesn't think it's going to make the squad better and it's just a flashy purchase, I'd rather he just didn't make it. And I don't think we do. So sometimes it's not good to just buy players for headline signings.
It depends how motivated the players are. I think it's got to come from them. Bruce's mandate is to finish 17th. Mm-hmm. And that'll be good enough. It's like, what do the players want to achieve this year? So Maximin openly came out and said like it wasn't good enough last year, and he wants the club to sign players. So if it's another year like last year, I think this will be the last year that he stays with us. But that'll be dependent on whether we get a decent enough offer. I think Wilson likes the club, and I think he's got the number 9 shirt. I think he'll be motivated to do something in that shirt. I think Lascelles had a poor season last year. Like, is he plateauing a bit? Does he need a move at some point just to kind of reignite his career? Or is he just kind of like happy at what he's got as a club captain? Because I'm not sure there's too many clubs where he'd walk in and be that. I think it was very unique circumstances in the way he got it at Newcastle and the way he's keeping it. So it's up to the players as to what they want to do. I think they'll go on little runs and play quite well for a few games and then have a mare, and then everyone will be on Steve Bruce, and then it will kind of just like recycle that process throughout the season. Hopefully we can get a couple more bodies in. It'd be great to see Willock back. I think it's 6 million. He's like, would automatically be like the standout player. Definitely, like, he's cheaper than St. Maximin. He's got more goal threat, and he'll probably play in that kind of position, and he'll stay fit, whereas St. Maximin probably won't. And you can label the same with Wilson. But I am glad that he's got a bit of a price rise. I think people will ignore him, and he still seems to have this weird label of like, whenever Newcastle scores, you go on Twitter and it's like, oh, like the Callum Wilson curse, which is a weird thing. I think he's like one of the most consistent Premier League players, and he's coming off a free summer where a lot of the big hitters have been playing in the World Cup and have had like no break. I just think it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. I think at the moment I've got him plugged in and as one of my four players that I've picked in my
FPL. We can tell you're in America, mate. Euros, not the World Cup.
Whatever. Sorry, Euros.
Let me highlight Wilson's consistency if I can, right? Looking at forwards, Wilson's 7.5. I'm looking at forwards price between 7 and 8 and their points per match last season. So you've got Anthony Martial, 3.4, Richarlison, 3.6 points per game, Che Adams, 3.8, Chris Wood, 4.2, Jimenez, 4.3, Iheanacho, 4.4, but it was obviously a lot higher second half of the season. Antonio and Ings, 4.5 points per game, so too Ollie Watkins, Calvert-Lewin, 5 points per game, Patrick Bamford, 5.1 point per game, Callum Wilson, 5.2 points per game is the best of the lot. Only Jamie Vardy and Harry Kane had a better points per match record of forwards last season.
There you go.
Sold.
Yeah, he's in.
It's not as simple as that, though, is it? Because you have to look at, say, Villa's first three and compare Wilson and Watkins at the same price, plus Iheanacho at the same price and the way he finished last season. I don't think, unfortunately, it becomes that straightforward. I think Callum Wilson is one of them. What's scary about going with him is if you go, what you said, Suj, I think you've got to be patient because he will get goals. He will definitely get goals. He will definitely be Newcastle's talisman. And from that perspective, it makes it interesting. Whereas Villa might do great and Watkins might have a bad season in FPL. If Newcastle do great, Callum Wilson do great. There's no doubt about it. If he goes in, you've got to be patient with it. Whereas I think for the short-term mindset, which a lot of FPL managers have to use, you can go Watkins for the first three and you already know you're probably coming off at the end of that game week three. Now, ironically, you're probably not going to Wilson because Newcastle go to Old Trafford in that game week. But I think if you go Callum Wilson, you go and you stick and you probably have to accept it. But there's so many other players around at the same price point that obviously could go off. The chances are you won't be patient. You will jump off him. If he's not returning. That's the likelihood of it. And I guess it depends on Newcastle a lot. The one thing we've been consistent, we've said, Suj, is obviously since Graham Jones came in January, you've been all right to watch, Si, honestly. You've been all right since January. I know no one in Newcastle is going to take the bruise. Doesn't matter if you win 10 games in a row, finish fourth in the league, there'll still be people who want him sacked, right? Because they just won't get over the fact of the way that he's spoken about the fans in the past.
Is that the same Graham Jones that masterminded England's Euro final run?
It's the same Graham Jones, mate. I don't know if he's capable of being a manager, but if it is, he'll probably be your next one.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a story today. Terry's lined up. So I don't know. They're just making.
Who did you say? Sorry.
John Terry's been someone. Some pundits come out and said he'd make a great Newcastle manager.
Oh well, yeah, that's. Pundits, let's not worry about
what. I'd be happy.
I never knew Danny Mills was a pundit until he started saying stupid things over the last week. Honestly, is that these people get attention? No, you're not. You know, Ashley's not going to sack Bruce unless he's really worried that they're going to get relegated. He's not going to.
No, it's not going to happen. And to be fair, I'm too tired to even like fight it. And you can probably tell from my lackadaisical approach to FPL this season. I honestly like. Last year was a bit of a slog, and I just don't really give a shit this season. So
no, I get that.
I'm gonna just like take a few punts.
But
I think,
but like, also, don't pretend. And the night you won at Leicester, you weren't like, "What's this?" I know you were, mate.
Yeah. No, as I said, like this season, like there'll be a couple of games where I'm like really into it, and like club's doing great, players doing great, quite proud of my club. And that's it. I think I said the same thing last season, to be honest. It was like just looking for those three or four kind of peak moments during the season where like everything feels good and it's like nice to watch football and be a Newcastle fan and then like just like, deal with the rest of the season as and when it comes.
Do you think you'll start with Wilson then?
I mean, he's one of my four players at the moment. If we've got time, can you help me with the rest of my team?
I'll give Manchild a call, Si.
Yeah, I'm not that desperate.
You'll end up with Cock, Wood, all those players, mate. I'm not sure it's going to be any good for you.
Yeah, was it at the meetup last week? Someone said Watford assigned a player called Hung Bo or something, and that's a guy, typical man-child pick there, waiting, ready.
Nice. I think I'm going to try and play it a bit differently this year. I think I just like a bit more risk. I was a bit risk averse last season because it was like a COVID season and everything else. So I think I might just be a bit more risky and see how it goes this season.
We could still get games postponed because of COVID. He's worth saying that could still happen.
One thing that might get some motivation into the players would be some new ownership, because when you get new bosses to impress, everyone seems to want to up their game a little bit. We know that the Premier League have kicked this all forward until next year now. Well, me and James were talking about it the other day, and we both agreed that we still think that eventually this takeover is likely to happen. Do you still think it's going to happen at some point? It's just a case of timing, or have you lost kind of any hope that it might get through?
I still haven't seen any legal grounds for why it shouldn't go through compared to other ownership deals that have gone through. It's in the hands of lawyers. The lawyers have been given a mandate to do what they've done, which is push this back as far as possible and hope that the buying interest dissipates. From what Amanda Staveley and the consortium have said, that they're, you know, they've got nothing but time on their hands. I don't think they're in a particular rush, to be honest, apart from the value of their asset potentially depreciating because they've got a deal in place. So it's just like both sides just cock blocking each other until one of them kind of shows their hand, really. I think personally what the Premier League's done is just, it's disgusting that they've ensured that none of this has been made public. And they've gone out of their way to make sure that none of this information is public. My understanding is that the Court of Arbitration, there is some aspect of it that has to be made public because of the way that the process is constructed, which would be nice. But I don't think everything has to be real. But the fact that the Premier League has gone out of their way just to make sure that nothing or as much information as possible is concealed from the public, from Newcastle fans, just kind of shows, I think, like what their mantra is. It's a cartel, essentially, with all the big clubs, and they don't want another club pushing it in. I think everything that went on last season with the Super League has just proved that. I don't know why the Premier League is still backing these big clubs. I guess it's because, at the end of the day, they line their pockets. So
money. It's always
money. I think in this particular case, because of the people that are taking over your football club, there's obviously a lot of people are dead against that. Because of their links to human rights stuff, and your man who's associated with being in charge, you'll know it's the name, Suj.
It's not human rights, it's TV money, and it's the issue with the Qataris and the ownership, Premier League ownership rights in the Middle East, and the fact that the Saudi government was happy for pirated channels to basically, they weren't shutting them down. And my understanding is last year they actually came to an agreement with the Qatari government around what was going to happen with TV rights in their country. So there was some movement on that front. I don't know. We'll see this season if they actually clamp down on it or not. But that's essentially like, it's the same reason why like Paris Saint-Germain didn't want to become part of the Super League, was because of their financial investment and interest in the UEFA Champions League. It all comes down to that. TV rights, money, who's lining whose pockets, and like, unless the Saudi government or consortium is willing to kind of offer them more at this stage or like do a different sweetener deal, they're just going to have to play it by the law. And the law says that we're going to have to wait another year until this, hopefully this situation is resolved.
It's fair on the TV side. I can't argue that, but you know, and I understand why you want to defend it. There are a lot of people going to keep coming back to the links of things that have happened in Saudi Arabia. And there has to be, in my opinion, a belief in some form that that's got something to do with it as well, because I think there's a concern that they'll pass it off, but actually if they put it through a fit and proper person test, he probably will pass it, but maybe because of some of the stuff that's not been proven, maybe he really shouldn't under suspicion. But I do agree, definitely 100%, someone at the Premier League is hiding a lot of shit. There's no doubt about it.
It's the biggest problem is the lack of transparency. I don't mind what decision they make, but if they're going to hide the reasons behind the decision and not let us have access to anything, then it's sus. It's dodgy as you like.
If they prove it on the grounds of human rights, then fine. I don't want those fuckers managing my club, to be honest.
Exactly. And I don't think most Newcastle fans would.
Yeah. But the context behind that, and then to just apply that situation to the consortium and then the consortium to the ownership of football, is there's a lot of shit that a lot of different people do. And I'm not just talking about people in the Middle East being like half Lebanese. I kind of understand the cultural and the context of everything that's going on that side. It's not just like a Saudi Arabia thing, but they are particularly bad with some of their laws and legislations in the historical side. But I don't know. Nothing's going to happen, as you said, James, this season. We'll just have to like see what the situation is next year and hope that some of our current assets are still around the club. And if not, we'll just have to build it back up again and just make sure our scouting department's on to whoever the next Mbappe is so we can sign him a little bit cheaper than what the current one would be.
As Sid said, I think it probably will happen. From my perspective, in terms of the season ahead, I don't think you'll get relegated because I see the way you perform since Graham Jones come in. Mm. And that's why I laughed at Sudge when he said it on our Patreon pod last week, when he said, I think Newcastle can finish top half. But if you can provide the form that you showed in the last 8 games, it's not... You know, obviously, to do that over 38 games would put you in a Champions League place. You're not going to do that. But even half of that consistency, where you're 1.5 points per game, you are going to push close to top 10. So I don't think it's unreasonable if the attacking players stay fit, if Willock comes back on loan. I don't think it's completely unreasonable, actually.
Thing is, I know
Clarkson would say, and on that bombshell, James.
But I also don't think it'll happen.
James agrees.
I don't think Newcastle will finish.
It's a bold prediction, but I wouldn't begrudge the fans if it did actually happen as well.
Yeah, just a final note on it is, you know, the players won't be thinking about this because, you know, they don't think about like what's happened previously under Ashley. But you know, we've had European finishes before under Pardew, and we had an opportunity for the club to kick on, and we didn't. We cost saved, we sold players, we went bargain basement again, and then we ended up back in the same situation, and then eventually got relegated. So even if we did finish top half or like had a West Ham season, like nothing's going to change until the club sold. So just try and enjoy the good points of the season and just ignore the bad ones.
I get that. I'd like to say to Newcastle fans, try and enjoy watching the team. And I know I completely get where everyone's at with the ownership and the management. Actually try and enjoy watching the team, because actually if you can remove yourself and not kind of go in with that negative mindset, they were good to watch towards the end of last season and they might be towards the start of this season.
Yeah, there's always other stuff going on around the club as well that annoys the fans that probably doesn't permeate through to like the media. It's not all about the results. It's like there's other things, whether it be like ticketing or things like that. But just because they care so much about how the club's run. But I think you're right. I think there's just a general kind of recognition, acknowledgement that this season is going to be what it is, and hopefully the team can play quite well and we pull out a few surprise results and don't get humped too many times. So that's basically the sort of long and short of it. We'll probably finish 13th again. And
That's answered the prediction question. Yeah, I would think something like that, 13th, 14th personally. Yeah.
Fine. I think the team's coming up, you know, I haven't seen what investment that they've put into their squads, but I think they all seem to be sort of fairly decent teams. And the teams that finished above us last season, I can't see us catching any of those. So it'll just be whether we can be a bit more consistent. And, you know, Bruce hasn't got the excuses he had last season. He's been with the squad for a year. He should be finally playing his way, which he said it took him like 9 months to play his way, which you're right. I think it was the introduction of some additional members of his coaching.
9 months.
Has to be. It was like an overnight change when he came in.
Yeah,
so I think they're playing to Graham Jones's beat, personally.
Yeah, and hopefully we stay under the radar and teams don't scout too much for the way we're playing. We essentially have like two systems of playing, but to be honest, I just think like I think we could potentially roll a few teams over that aren't expecting it. It's just really like the mentality of the players and what they want to achieve, knowing that their club is just kind of floating for another season. But it seems like a good group of players, and hopefully, like, I think St. Maximin and Alma, and you listen to like their agents and stuff. And I think those are the two marquee players, apart from Wilson, who came in obviously later. But if there's rumblings throughout the season that they want to leave, could be a bit tricky for us in the second half of the season or the January window.
St. Maximin gets it. He gets what it means to play for Newcastle. You can tell.
Yeah, no, absolutely, he does. It's you know, it's a short career, and I think he's the sort of player that a lot of clubs would be interested in signing. And I think, you know, I think he could not necessarily start, but he could do a job for a lot of those top Premier League clubs as a squad player. It's just a case of, I think if we tried to sell him now, we'd be selling him a bit low. So hopefully he has a really good season and it puts the club in a difficult position at the end of next season.
I've not heard any rumours of him going, to be honest.
He wasn't fit enough last
season. No, his injury record last season will put a lot of people off. I think he'd need to put together more minutes, get over 2,500 minutes in a season in, and then...
Yeah, establish his proper position, I think. And I think he was still, even though he played a lot more than number 10 that we talked about wanting to see him in, I think there's still a tendency to sometimes float him out to the wing. So I think he's just like one of those mercurial players, but hasn't quite locked down a position. But he's like, his attitude and everything else is spot on. He's a really nice guy. You can tell like from the stuff that he does off the pitch. He's quite down to earth. Like there's loads of videos of him going out for like a coffee in like the Biggs Market and stuff like that. So I think it's a good squad. I like the players. And there's been a couple of squads over the years that I've not really liked the look of and the shape of, but I think this one's good. And I think we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can get off to a good start and see where that takes us.
Nice. Well, listen, Si, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to tell the listeners where they might find you tweeting if you're going to be tweeting through the season?
I've kind of... FPL Twitter has just kind of bored me a bit the last couple of years, if we're completely honest.
Just rocks up like when they have nights like they do against Leicester.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, you know, seriously, some of my tweets are pretty fucking good. And I get like about 3 likes. James is always like there or thereabouts.
Slide into James's DMs and retweet this, mate, and you'll find that it rocks.
He doesn't need to. I have to watch these guys.
just follow the Planet FPL Twitter account and you'll see like James tweet about me. I'm thinking about maybe looking at doing some of the Discords now. Like I know that obviously being one of your correspondents, I get certain Discord privileges, but I think I'll jump on your Discord this season.
See, come and join the Slack, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
Slack. All right, cool.
That's the one. James, who have we got coming up next in Correspondent Week?
What he meant to say was at FPL _ footballer on Twitter is what he meant to say. Coming up on Tuesday. 3 more podcasts for you. Starts with Jack Toner at Turfy Topper on Burnley, followed by Ricky Saunders on Tottenham and Stephen Toomey's sixth goal on Watford.
Indeed. So make sure wherever you are listening to the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever it may be, you are subscribed, and also on YouTube, get yourself subscribed so you'll know when all of the remaining 17 Correspondent Week podcasts go out. On top of the Correspondent Week podcast, we do have a pod every single day for our patrons as well, looking to build up towards the start of the season. And you'll find more info on that, patreon.com/planetFPL. Simples. Other than that, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks very much, Si. Away the lads. Cue music, please, Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.